City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago and Camelot. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
I met a man who lived his life out on the road, who left a wife and kids in Portland on a whim. I met a man whose fire and passion always showed, who asked if I could spare a week to ride with him. And I was sure that all I ever wanted was a life that was scripted and planned. And he said, but you don't understand. I'll give you stars and the moon and the open highway and a river beneath your feet. I'll give you days for the dream.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 108. I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. Hello, Peter.
Hello. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. You know, I was talking to some Canadians and they were like some business salespeople on Friday. And they said, well, could we meet about that on Monday? And I said, well,
could we meet about that on Monday?
About that on Monday. Could we talk about it on Monday? And I said, well, it's actually a national holiday here. Mm-hmm. But I actually think I'm going to do it anyhow just because I'm going to be home.
Yeah, good for
get
you.
Get it out of the way.
Good for you. I actually have a lot to do on Monday. I'm going to be busy, busy, busy boy. But it's also a national holiday in the UK. Did you know that? It's
no.
The spring holiday. They just
the
had
spring
something
holiday?
Called the spring holiday.
When they spring Tony Blair out of the the United Kingdom.
Out of the hold. I don't know. Spring holiday. So, of course, it's Memorial Day in Chicago.
Which means one thing.
Up to IML.
A line of hairy and leather men around the corner from our studio waiting to go into Steamworks on
That's
a sunny.
Amazing.
On a sunny Sunday. It's so
it's
strange.
A gorgeous day here in Chicago. I haven't been out of the house yet today because I've actually been working all morning, but
it's crazy.
Yeah,
that
it
why
really
would they
is.
Be going into Steamworks? I understand why they'd be going into Steamworks. Just why in the afternoon?
Like, well, they must have they might actually have
event.
A party. They might actually have a party there at the Steamworks. I'm so kind of out of touch with all the big events. I went to the leather market though with some friends yesterday.
Yeah, how was that?
Wow.
Did you buy yourself some electrodes for your nads?
No, because the ones that I saw I didn't really care for. Plus I was a little too tipsy on champagne to really make sense of what was going on. But we had a
tipsy on champagne.
Yeah, we had mimosas.
Oh, honey,
in the morning.
Honey,
it was delightful. We each had our own bottle or two of champagne. I was drinking. We haven't decided on a name, but we're calling them like pomosas because it was with like pomegranate juice and.
Oh yes.
And that, so we were drinking at my friend Ken's house. He put a wonderful little spread out, and we all rolled down there on the train, tipsy and giggly and loud and homosexual as all could get out.
Yeah.
And,
as only you all can be.
Yeah. And it was truly fun. It was just, it was a great time as usual. I actually bought some armbands though. I bought some leather armbands.
Did you?
And, the guy was, he was this very cute Latin man, who was selling them, this big buff, muscly and little tiny boys. And he's like, well, are you the top or do you the bottom? Because the top, he goes over here and the bottom, he goes over there. I was like, well, I'm actually both. He goes, well, honey, you got to get both. And so I bought one for each arm and it looks super hot. Cause you know, I got my hair, the military cut now and
yep.
I had my sleeves rolled up and
yep.
Yeah, it was kind of, a lot of people were touching my backside.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a cute backside. We've talked about that last time. Can I tell you that I was actually out to dinner, sushi, with some straight gals that I hang around with every now and again. You know, sometimes I got to hang around the heterosexuals.
Me too.
And we were having sushi because that's just still a very lesbian thing to do with the straight girls. And I was talking about something. We were talking about Oprah came up and Dr. Oz, and I said, yeah, you know, I was just talking about this on the Queer Cast, and my friend said, oh, about the taint. Now it was
Yay.
Pam.
Yay.
It was Pam, who you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Pam was in the group too, and Pam said, yeah, the taint. And I was like, yeah, did you hear that? I was like, because Dr. Oz didn't talk about the taint.
Right.
And she said, oh yeah, the taint. And three other people at the table were like, I have no idea what y'all are talking
are
about.
You serious?
And I was like, the taint. And I said, Peter is going to be so excited, Pam, that you knew about the taint.
There's actually a Wikipedia page.
It cracks me the fuck up.
There's a Wikipedia page on the taint. And now I did not know about the origin. And actually, the Wikipedia, it's a slang word. It's an U.S. English slang for the perineum. That's the official name. But this is the joke. This is sort of, it's a portmanteau of, you know, when you smash a bunch of words together. And it comes from the phrase, it ain't your balls and it ain't your ass.
No way. What's so funny that they didn't say that on Dr. Oz on Oprah, but that's exactly what they were talking about. So it's kind of funny. I think Oprah would have thought that was funny.
It was really funny.
Taint your balls and it ain't your...
Taint your balls and taint your ass.
And that's on the Wikipedia.
It is. I'm reading it right now.
I love that.
You got to look up taint slang. I think I put that in the show notes too.
That's hilarious. I love it. But anyhow, so... But speaking of, you do have very cute butts, so I'm glad they were all touching your butt.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was happy to get out of there, though, because there's a point where you reach sort of maximum sexual overdrive where there's too much going on, and then
there's just so much it becomes it's crazy. But I know there's a lot of fun festivities, and the party tonight with Frankie Knuckles, always at the House of Blues, will be a good time. And
is he spinning tonight? I don't even know.
I don't know. Usually it's his party,
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's usually Dean Entertainment, I think, who does the party. But
yeah, I'm going to a friend's little low-key party. It's his birthday party, so I'm excited to go hang out and do something nice. I think we're barbecuing or something outside.
Thank God, it's beautiful. My show is great. I only have 5 more shows. I have tonight, and then I've got next weekend, and that's all she wrote, folks. So if you're going to come out and see me, at Profiles Theater. It's your last opportunity.
So are you having a party?
Not really a party. You mean to close the show? Yeah. Not really. My girlfriend is coming back in from New York. She's been in New York. It's been really hot there.
Really?
New York City's been just swelteringly hot. And so she'll come back, and I don't know if a bunch of people come to my closing who wait till the very last nanosecond. Taint your opening, right? But tis your closing.
Taint your pussy, taint your ass.
hopefully... there'll be some people and we'll go out afterward. But it's been really, really nice. It's been just such a great experience. I'm going to feel a bit without it. And you are in rehearsals for your show.
Yeah, it's quite a hectic schedule. I was talking about working. We've been doing quite a bit of that. It's coming together. I'm really excited. Unfortunately, we really only have one tech for a few hours before we open because there are so many spots trying to compete with that. Plus, you know, Jerry Springer's in there, so we can't just... kind of go there at our leisure. We have to really follow into the Jerry Springer schedule. So it's good working on the music and everything together. I've listened to more swing music in the last 3 weeks, let me tell you.
Oh, really?
Me and the Cherry Poppin' Daddies were kind of tight now because I've been really just running the gambit I have to create this nice little backdrop. So it sounds like they're in a dance hall and I've got like ambient audio, kind of like that airport thing I did, remember?
Yeah.
So we're doing that. Plus, we have the 2 big dance breaks and then a final dance number.
So that's the work you've been working on today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of music, a lot of really just putting stuff together. Plus, my day job is getting like crazy hectic. Yeah. So I had to take a lot of work home, which I don't like doing.
I know. I'm doing that too, because as we're coming and saying goodbye to the end of May, which is what Memorial Day always feels like, we are diving head first with no hands, like sailor diving into Gay Pride. And it's just it's crazy.
I got a vacation coming up. So I'm leaving town, and it's weird to leave town in the middle of June. I did it last year for Broadway Bears. It's going to be totally fun, but it's kind of like I have to sort of cross all the T's and dot all the I's before I leave, and then pick it right back up at the end and get ready for a party. Of the guest list now is 70 people here.
Wow.
For my pride party. I'm a little nervous.
Oh my God. I hope y'all don't collapse. Don't let them on the porch.
No. But it's concrete in the front.
But you know, what's exciting is that there's June also is, such a celebration besides Gay Pride in that we have our big Windy City Gay Idol semifinals June 2nd at Sidetrack, and June 15th will be our finals at Circuit Nightclub. That's going to be fantastic.
And then June 20th. The 30 under 30.
June 20th, we have 30 under 30. Speaking of Sidetrack, they celebrate 25th anniversary here in early June. So that's going to be an exciting way for us to kind of be there with them at the beginning of that. And if you haven't been into Sidetrack or you're coming to Chicago ever, what they have done, what Circuit Mom, what Matthew has done to that bar is just beautiful. It looks so great for their big festivities. And also, the Gay and Lesbian Center on Halsted is opening. There will be a ribbon cutting here in about 1 week. And they're already occupying the building. And for people who listen to our show in other cities, if you're in a major city like San Francisco, LA, or New York, you have your own GLBT center, but we don't. This has been a really long time in the making. It really looks beautiful from the outside. I have not been in yet.
Me either.
And there are going to be events going on all throughout. We're going to have a, there's going to be a benefit with Betty, and we're going to be talking to them later on. But also another Betty who is on our show today. Betty Buckley is going to be on our show today. She is at the official gala opening that is coming up here in early June. So that's going to be exciting.
She's here in Chicago.
She's here in Chicago. I love her so much.
I kind of want to stalk her a little bit. A little bit. Like, I want to stand by. Do they have a stage door at the center in Halston?
I don't know yet.
I want to stand by the stage door. Betty Buckley.
Betty Buckley. I did that one time. Well, I didn't stalk her. I got to meet her, which was lovely. She's a really, really lovely person. Mm. So it's fun to talk to her again. But, you know, stuff's going on in this country. Stuff is going on in other countries around the world as people celebrate Pride and continue to try to...
Try to celebrate Pride.
Try to be out and open and live as GLBT people.
A couple of weeks ago, or a couple of shows ago, I should say, I talked to you guys out there about the Moscow, the debacle in Moscow that they were trying to get the permit to do it. Well, it's not going well. It's really not
going well. To do a Pride
well.
In Moscow.
To do a Pride in Moscow.
And there were like a few hundred people, wasn't it what you said?
Yeah, putting it...
Or a few thousand
people trying to put it together. But there was a gay rights advocate who actually organized an event today. It was a rally, and there was also a German parliament member. And they were like, they were eggs, and they were picked up, they were egged by the crowd.
Oh, okay.
All these people were like egging them by the crowd. They were trying to do this little protest to say, hey, we want to get this permit. We think you should get this permit. Here are some people who are showing up. And it's actually, the story is just breaking as we're recording right now. So the details are kind of a little sketchy. It looks like about 30 people were arrested.
Wow.
But it's just, it's amazing that, there were 50 members of the European Parliament saying to the mayor of Russia, this is what you should do. You should allow a gay pride parade here. This is something that will make you more of the European Union, strengthen your ties with everybody, and, you know, just recognize basic people's rights to be who they are and to shine how they want to. And they're really coming down very hard on these folks in Moscow, and my heart goes out to them. But it's work that I think they need to do, and it's work that... they need to be loud and proud, and I'm
well, it sounds like, you know, amazed. people get arrested, you know, protests, and people peacefully protest and make their voice heard, and that happens in Chicago. I mean all the time. It's not to have a gay pride parade, but it's for other GLBT rights. So we will send our well wishes and strength and thought and our hope with them, because it can happen, and it will happen.
And it will happen. And you don't, in the history of humanity, right, you don't get rights just given to you. You get rights because you struggle for them, and you have to fight for them.
And you ask for them.
Right.
You demand them.
Absolutely. You demand them. And I'm happy to see that this is just beginning in Russia, which sort of that Eastern Bloc really still has the big issue, I think, in the European community. And if Russia really embraces these people and holds on tight, then I think it will start to spread even further, and hopefully it will start to spread south into the Middle East and more of that, and hopefully someday into China, and things will get much better on that side of the continent. But for now, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with the folks in Moscow, and I really, really hope that something good comes out of that. We have another great news story that we're going to talk about on the next one. It's the polar opposite. It's some good news in the Middle East about homosexuals, but we'll get there on the next show.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to be, Peter, as he said, is going to be traveling to New York. So in upcoming weeks, you're going to hear Peter talking with... people in New York, or friends in
Hopefully,
New York, or your travel companion
to
New York.
Go to Stonewall, and I think do a little show sitting out in front of Stonewall.
Excellent. And I'm going to be coming to you with a show from various people. Probably my partner and I will sit down and talk for a little while. And also my friend Mitchell Fain, who you may remember from our show, our interview of the show Sheer Madness. And Mitchell's going to be on with me. But one thing I know Mitchell and I will definitely do, and probably with Miss Alexander Billings, is we're going to watch the Tony Awards together here coming up. Very exciting. You know, and in May, it kind of makes me sad because we have the finales of all the shows that I love. And of course, we crowned Jordan Sparks, the new American Idol, and I picked her months ago, thought she would win.
Didn't get into this season at all.
Passed you by. But you know, so that's over, and I haven't watched the finale of Lost, which don't tell me, don't email me, don't anything.
I don't know about Lost.
So you know, it's just all these season finales and Grey's Anatomy, and everything's over. So now it becomes the time to
that
reminds me that the Tonys are right around the corner. So being the good theater fag that I am. Not fag hag, but just fag. Just
theater fag.
That I am. I will be talking about probably the Tony Awards as well. So that leads us greatly mm-hmm. into Tony Award winning Betty Buckley, who is on the show with us today. Plus, we've got lots of news. This, you know, weather gets nice and people start stirring stuff up.
Yeah,
Congresses
seriously.
Are starting to take breaks and they're trying to get things mm-hmm. passed before they go on Memorial Day vacation break. So there's been a lot going on in the past week. So we'll have that with you and much, much more.
And so lesbian baby talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big, big,
big, big baby story.
VP, VIP,
yeah,
VIP, VP.
VIP.
News after this.
You love the book. You love the movie. Now the story you love comes to Chicago at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Oprah Winfrey presents The Color Purple. Unforgettable characters, a triumphant story, and music that's simply amazing. It's truly the must-see musical event of the year. Now playing at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Tickets still available. Call Ticketmaster. Log on to colorpurple.com. Oprah Winfrey presents The Color Purple. Sponsored by Ariel Mutual Funds.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt and you're still a crowd pleaser.
Oh!
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's been 20 years in the making. June 8th, 9th, and 10th. Be a part of history as tens of thousands will join a celebration of equal rights and diversity that will take place on Milwaukee's lakefront. Pride Fest 2007.
Pride Fest.
At Henry Mayer Festival Park. With explosive performances by Chaka Khan, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, comedian Kathy Griffin.
I had a run-in with Whitney Houston. Are you in? Or as I call her, Cracky. Allegedly! Allegedly!
Cascada.
Every time we touch, I get this feeling.
Nikki French.
Totally glimpse of the heart.
And over 60 exciting acts on multiple stages of entertainment with the highly anticipated Pride Idol. Get tickets, more information, and the complete lineup now at PrideFest.com. PrideFest 2007, June 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Summerfest grounds on Milwaukee's lakefront. Proudly sponsored by Windy City Media, Potawatomi Bingo Casino, and Miller Lite. The official beer of Pride Fest. Pride Fest 2007, June 8th, 9th, and 10th. Visit PrideFest.com now. Pride Fest. Pride Fest.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 28th, 2007, you're in Chicago's Culture Club.
The grandeur of Shakespeare and the signature intimacy of Writers Theater combine to create the potential for theatrical nirvana. Othello, the masterpiece of a general led into a frenzy of jealousy and insecurity by his most trusted soldier. Come closer to Shakespeare than you ever thought possible and fully realize the breathtaking characters of the world's greatest playwright. For more about Othello, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Don't miss Saturday Night Live star Julia Sweeney returning to the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway, for 2 days only, June 16th and 17th, performing her hit show, Letting Go of God. Julia Sweeney filled the house in April and she's back at the Lakeshore Theater. Get your tickets now. Call 866-468-3401 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
Pulp is back and better than ever. About Face Theater's deliciously campy homage to the sultry world of lesbian pulp fiction closes this week on June 3rd. Join playwright Patricia Kane and the original cast for the the return of the hit comedy the Tribune called funny, smart, and eminently entertaining, and the LA Times hailed as a comic bullseye. Last chance to get your tickets for Pulp. Visit aboutfacetheater.com.
The reviews are in. Critics and audiences love Forbidden Broadway, the smash hit musical at the Royal George. The Chicago Tribune raves, it's the funniest, fastest 90 minutes in Chicago, bar none. The Chicago Sun-Times calls it highly recommended. Where else but at Forbidden Broadway can you see 31 of your favorite Broadway shows spoofed in 97 minutes? Direct from New York, 312-902-1500 or go to Ticketmaster.com.
Goodman Theater presents the primary stage production of In the Continuum. Don't miss this engrossing and surprisingly humorous portrait of two young women, a professional wife and mother in Zimbabwe, and a floundering 19-year-old in Los Angeles whose lives are suddenly upended by an HIV diagnosis. Playing now through June 24th, call 312-443-3800 or visit goodmantheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Great Toronto Summer Adventures! Today's episode, we will rock you! Legend has it that audiences at Queen's smash hit musical can't help but leap to their feet when the music starts. This is nonsense, of course, but it serves as a metaphor for... Oh my... Woohoo! Oh, I meant to do that. Hotel rates from $92 a night, some conditions apply. Details at TorontoSummerAdventures.com. Oh, my head.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell has quit The View after her latest on-air argument with Elizabeth Hasselbeck. O'Donnell took Hasselbeck to task for not defending her against Republicans' charges that O'Donnell called American soldiers in Iraq terrorists. The fight was much publicized days after, with even Donald Trump siding with Rosie and calling Hasselbeck one of the stupidest people on TV.
Mm-hmm. The week before Memorial Day, the U.S. military has fired three more Arabic linguists under the anti-gay Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. One of the linguists was serving in Iraq, and reportedly his sexual orientation was known. However, he was formally investigated because of an internet chat room conversation he held. Almost 60 linguists have been let go under the policy.
In Yuma, Arizona, Ruben Solario, 23, has been arrested in the two-year murder of drag performer Armancio Corrales, also 23. Although many believe that the murder was a hate crime, the authorities have not categorized it as one. Corrales was a well-known drag performer known as Delilah.
In Kansas, city commissioners in Lawrence voted 4-1 to create a domestic partnership registry that will give gay couples some official recognition, making it the first city in the state to do so. The registry, which may take effect as soon as August 1st, will require both partners to be at least 18 years old and require them to live together in a relationship of indefinite duration with a mutual commitment.
In Maryland, church officials have announced that the Reverend Drew Phoenix, a United Methodist minister who was formerly Ann Gordon, will be reappointed to a Baltimore congregation. Moreover, St. John's United Methodist Church's 50-member congregation is supporting Phoenix's return wholeheartedly. The denomination does not ban transgender clergy, although it does prohibit sexually active gay pastors from ministering.
In Nebraska, the state Senate has voted 24-15 to reject a measure that would prohibit sexual orientation discrimination. In leading the charge to defeat the bill, Republican Senator Tom Carlson said that gay workers who keep their sex lives private do not need protection, while Republican Senator Tony Fulton said that the measure could lead to pedophiles and transvestites being protected as well.
Men who have had sex with other men since 1977 still are prohibited from donating blood.
Yes, we are.
Even though the American Red Cross and other organizations have derided the policy, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has reiterated the ban, saying that those men are more likely to contract HIV and transmit the disease to others.
Heather Poe and Mary Cheney, the daughter of Vice President Dick Cheney, gave birth to an 8-pound, 6-ounce Samuel David Cheney on May 23rd. Samuel is the sixth grandchild for Dick and Lynn Cheney.
Actress Sharon Stone helped raise more than $7 million in AIDS research at the Cannes Film Festival Gala. Among the attendees at the event benefiting the Foundation for AIDS Research were George Clooney, Matt Damon, and Naomi Campbell.
At 17 years old, Jordan Sparks was crowned the youngest American Idol ever. However, Judge Simon Cowell said that finalist Melinda Doolittle should have won. Quote, I said Melinda should have won, Cowell said. Quote, she has tried the hardest, was consistently the best, and had the best voice. He also said, among other things, that Kelly Clarkson is the best singer Idol has ever had, and that only Britney Spears can rescue her own career.
And that's Simon Cowell's words, and that's our news.
Hi, this is Lucas from The Clicks, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Time I knew what happened.
fatalistic warning.
Betty Buckley is one of the consummate voices of Broadway, from her Tony Award-winning role as Grisabella in Cats to Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, and through her concerts and albums, she is unparalleled as an interpreter of song. Betty comes to Chicago to help us celebrate the culmination of almost a decade of work, the opening of the Gay and Lesbian Center on Halsted on June 8th, and what a celebration that will be. Hello, Betty. How are you?
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I am so good. It's beautiful here. So that always lifts my spirits in the Windy City. Mm-hmm. So the last time I interviewed you, it couldn't have been weeks after 9/11.
Oh, wow.
I remember just a lot of that. That interview was just a really, everybody I interviewed during that time, you know, everyone kind of spoke from a different place, just really speaking from their heart. And you're living in Texas these days. What was the decision to move back home? And did it have anything to do with just a reflection on your life after that incident?
Well, actually it did. In the several months following 9/11, I just really became visionless and without a quality of ambition that I'd always felt about what to do next, you know, and my entire focus from the moment I graduated from college was about my career and work, practice, work, you know. I then became obsessed with getting a cutting horse, which had been a childhood dream of mine, and I decided to follow through on that, and I made a connection with one of the top trainers in the sport of cutting, and he took me on as a student, said I wasn't too old to learn to do the sport, and within a period of months had found me my first cutting horse. So after becoming acquainted with that horse, his name was Purple Badger, and he really changed my life, and I decided I had to go live where my horse lived. So I sold my New York apartment and bought a lovely little ranch outside of Fort Worth and moved down here 3.5 years ago. And Badger, I had 3 perfect years with Badger, and then he passed away a year ago, January 8th. He died quite shockingly while running in the pasture of an aneurysm.
Oh, wow.
And he was a very young horse, and it was really an incredible loss to me. And I've been, you know, very discombobulated since I lost him, having changed my life to live where he lives. And,
yeah.
But now I have 2 other cutting horses and 2 show horses and 5 dogs, 3 of which are rescue dogs and down here, and 3 cats, all rescue cats, and a parrot. And anyway, menagerie, and I live out here on this ranch and travel around singing concerts.
It sounds like a perfect life. I mean, you're from Texas, and I'm from Tennessee, so I understand the whole. A country mouse is always a country mouse, I always say. And you could spend some time in the big city, but has it really felt truly like a coming home?
Yeah, it's been really a great thing at this point in my life. Prior to having my ranch and my horses, and my work was the primary focus of my life, and now I have a life that I work to support, you know, instead of having everything just be about my career. And so that's been really very gratifying, and there's a great deal of peace to that, and having made that decision at this point in my life. I love New York. New York City, I love going back there. I was just there last weekend, and I've been there quite a lot this spring, actually. And we continue to travel, a lot.
Yeah.
I now have about 2.5 weeks off before our next journey, and then 2 weeks after that is our next trip. But it's really great to come back to this little ranch and ride horses and show them and play with the animals.
I love it. You began your singing there in Texas in the Methodist Church Choir, and from everything I know about you and in talking to you in previous interviews, spirituality is just an essential part of your life and your music. How are these two connected for you? How would you describe that to people? How is the spiritual and the musical connected?
Well, I found meditation when I was in my mid-20s, after I first experienced Hollywood and life in the fast lane for a brief period. And I was pretty exhausted after that and kind of questing as to, you know, looking for an answer to find some balance. And my ex-husband actually who's still a very good friend, Peter Flood, took me to a meditation center, and it just made so much sense, and I felt so much better once I started meditating. So I've been a meditator since my mid-20s, which is a really long time now, and from that practice have found a way of focusing for my work that really is, it's everything to me. It's it provides me with all the answers I need, and the balance and harmony in my life come from the practice of prayer and meditation.
Now, you have been teaching for almost 30 years.
What 35, actually.
35 years.
Yeah.
Like, you're an honest lady. What does teaching bring to your life? And I know you often teach a song interpretation, and you've already mentioned meditation being a big part of your life. How do you share that with your students?
Well, every good thing I use in my work and know and have learned is, everything that I know of value has been taught to me by great teachers. And I feel it's therefore my duty, my responsibility to pass along all this good information, all this knowledge and that's been imparted to me. So I give classes between my work, my work as a concert artist and as a performer and as an actor. I'm in the middle of a class at Casa Manana, which is the regional theater here in Fort Worth that I first performed at professionally. And so it's kind of, that's neat that I'm teaching a class there in the theater that I first performed in.
Yeah. And
it's really, I teach meditation as the means for focusing the students' minds, or the singer's mind, or the actor. And I teach a spiritual philosophy, a very universal spiritual philosophy. I've been a student of comparative world religions and philosophy for all these years. And I teach this it's just a very essential spiritual philosophy that really just encompasses basic humanitarian principles as the methodology for making one's choices as a singer, as a communicator, as an actor, as a storyteller. And it works very well for me, and I just try to teach these same tools to the students that come to study with me. And it's extremely gratifying because these tools that I've been taught to use are very powerful ones, and they really assist an amazing transformation in every life that takes them seriously and utilizes the spiritual tools that I share with them. So it's extremely gratifying to see it make sense for people and to have it open up the potential that they always knew was inside them, but somehow didn't have a technique to access with consistency.
I want to take your class, Betty Buckley. I'm going to have to come to Texas. So
I sometimes teach in New York, actually. I taught at the Terry Schreiber School for a number of years. I haven't taught there recently because I kind of need an engagement that keeps me there for a period of weeks.
No, I'll come to Texas with the cutting horses and the dogs and the parrot and all that.
Sure,
I want the whole full now. Ranch girl Betty Buckley experience.
Okay. You're welcome to come, Amy.
So you mentioned everybody finding this aspect of being a storyteller, and that is just a word I would use to describe you as a singer. And you dance effortlessly between so many musical forms, jazz, which I think was an early influence for you, of course, the American Songbook, Broadway, folk, country. And you've been working with a longtime collaborator, Kenny Werner, for many, many, many years. And somehow that marriage of the two of you really allows you to approach each song in such a fresh way. What are you looking for in a song so that you can tell the story you need to tell with it?
It's hard to say because people are always making suggestions of songs to me, and why I respond to a certain one song and not another is a mystery even to me. I can say that I look for songs that have a beginning and middle and an end, kind of. Those are my favorites. What I call the monologue song.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Sondheim is the master of the monologue song.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a song that a character who's clearly defined, you know, sings a song, starts the song in one place, has a kind of an active contemplation through the experience of the song, and kind of comes out on the other side with a new point of view, a new perspective, or a solution to what right. the original dilemma described in the song is. I mean, like the in Into the Woods, he's written several songs for the young performers in the show that are just so perfect. Like the Cinderella song is a perfect monologue song.
Or right.
Jack's song, the Jack and the Beanstalk song, you know,
Little Red Riding Hood.
Wife,
yeah.
Pardon me?
Little Red Riding Hood or The Baker's
yeah,
Wife.
Yeah, The Baker's Wife song in Into the Woods is a wonderful monologue song.
Because
it describes the dilemma. Now, none of those songs are especially right for me.
Come on. You can sing anything that you want to sing, Betty.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's simply not true, but I wish it were. I don't know. It's that, you know, some songs resonate depending on the age you are, you know, what, like I've retired certain songs because they just no longer apply. I don't feel that particular cri du coeur, I would say, you know, the cry of the heart. I don't feel that in the same way. So I can't really invest the same truth to that material anymore. I can act it, but it doesn't resonate as something that really has anything to do with me as an individual at this point.
And it's the wonderful thing about, you know, doing these concerts or cabaret performances that you really get to select what is speaking to you at the time. And you just sang at Feinstein's in New York, and a lot of people are talking about your rendition of Fire and Rain, James Taylor. And I always think it's so amazing when you do numbers like that, which I wouldn't really think of as maybe a beginning, middle, and end. Some folk songs I don't really think have that, but I'm sure, having not heard you perform it, but I am sure that when you sang it, it did. And
well, it's Fire and Rain is a very profound song.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, we've been doing that in concert for quite some time, and then but we just, for the Feinstein's engagement, Kenny actually suggested it as a duet for the two of us, where he does an extended improvisation around and in tandem to what I am expressing in the song as well. And it was, I hadn't thought of it, and it was his inspiration, because we just did it pretty straight ahead as a kind of a soulful piece, almost gospel-y in nature.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked very, very well. And so I wouldn't even say the majority of the good ideas come from me. I have to, you know, want to do them.
Yeah.
And why I want to do them at any given point. Certainly the majority of the songs I do don't have a beginning, middle, and an end. They might just be the description of a mood or a point of view in relationship or, you know, another great song that's a great story song is by Amanda McBroom. It's kind of a definitive story song. It's called Dreamin'.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very clear character of a housewife, and she starts describing her life from one vantage point, and then you discover in the middle of the song that it's really something else. And then she continues to illuminate the listener about her life, and there's tremendous inspiration found in her pain, both for herself and I think for the listener. And I love that song. That's a beautiful song. But
she's a great storyteller.
She is a great storyteller.
I mean,
Mary Chapin Carpenter is a beautiful poet, songwriter. And they're hard to find. I have a proclivity. I love songs from, you know, I'm a child of the 60s, so I love that whole generation of singer-songwriter, poet, singer-songwriter, Joni Mitchell, you know, James Taylor, all those people. And Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, yeah. I so yeah. want to hear you do some Patty Griffin. I actually want to hear you and Patty Griffin sing together, because she is, to me right now, my new favorite storyteller, songwriter. And I know she's
really?
Good. She's very good cronies with Mary Chapin Carpenter. They've been on tour. I'll send you some music, Betty.
Oh, good. I would appreciate that. That'd be
she
great.
Is fabulous. Now, tell me, because you've spoken about the good ideas that Kenny has, which is why you keep him around, I'm sure. Tell me.
It goes way beyond that.
Tell me about the new CD coming out, Quintessence.
It should be released in September of this year. We're still negotiating with the record label that intends to release it. I hope all goes well with that negotiation. I always am, you know, keeping my fingers crossed when things are in the hands of attorneys.
Yes.
You know, it's supposed to come out this September. It's a, I'm very proud of it. We worked really hard on it. We recorded it last year, and I finished it at the end of the year, and I spent a lot of time on it, and it's, I think Kenny and I both think it's my best studio recording to date. Some of my best recordings actually are live concert recordings, and the studio is just another whole situation that I, you know, I can't say I have complete mastery of, but I gave myself a lot of time to get this right, and I think it's nice, and I really, really love the arrangements of the songs. Kenny, it's with my long-term quintet, all except for the drummer I've worked with for 17 years. The drummer is a young guy named Dan Weiss. The saxophone reed player is my long-term reed player, Billy Drews. My long-time bass player, Tony Marino, and Kenny, of course, and Todd Reynolds, who's played violin for me for a really long time as well. And it's just a beautiful ensemble of musicians, and the arrangements are very, very fresh, of a lot of Broadway songs, standards, and then a couple of contemporary songs as well.
I would just imagine, because I love, I mean, I love all your albums, but it's right. There's a different feel for any artist if they're good at recording a live album, and you are excellent at recording live. And I wonder, do you feel somehow trapped when you go in the studio, or is it just an entirely different beast and you just have to adjust your head to that?
Yeah, it's a completely different thing. I'm used to singing. I prefer singing in live resonant concert halls that have an echo pocket, and that I can hear, and I know where to place my voice inside of that resonance. My voice, I think, really is most naturally meant for a live experience. And in the studio, it's so intimate, and the microphone is so sensitive that I can't sing the same way.
Yeah.
Once or twice, I've worked with engineers that really knew how to record my voice. Full Tilt Boogie, and it's like finding those guys again. Like one day, I sang four lines in the soundtrack of the film Hair. I sang My Body is Walking in Space, and
right.
I was the voice of the young Vietnamese girl in the film, and I just walked in that studio being hired to sing for this young girl. And that engineer in that studio had a mix in my earphones that afforded me this complete abandon to the song, I mean to the singing, so my voice was itself. And I was like, wow, you know, and I stupidly lost that guy's name and number. And he was like genius. I mean, there's so many things, aspects to recording in a studio, like your earphone mix, you know, has to be such that you know where to put your voice. And so it's hard. It's really hard. And I am my worst critic. So, you know, when I live with the material, I hear things and I'm like, oh, no, that's not acceptable. That's not what I want at all. And so I have to go back and redo it. And this time I recorded the tracks in New Jersey with an engineer we worked with many times, Paul Wycliffe. And then I came back to Texas and found an engineer in Dallas, a young engineer, and went and did all the vocals with him. And he was just a young, enthusiastic guy when I met him. And when I finished the project, he was beyond over me.
Yeah.
He didn't want me to call again because I was so tedious and doing it over and over and over again. He was like, I don't even know what you're hearing anymore. You know, I'm like, no, it's not right. We have to do it again. And so it's a frustrating process, I suppose, working with me as a recording artist, because I know it needs to be better than that, so I keep making him redo it. It's
well,
funny.
We continue to get to learn, don't we? We get to continue to learn about ourselves and how we do what we do. Or get boring, I guess. So are there any, I know you've been heading back to New York from time to time, as you said. Are there any shows or artists lately that you've really been inspired by or really been turned on?
Yeah, I love that new Broadway musical, Spring Awakenings.
Uh-huh, the Duncan Sheik, right?
Yeah, I was amazed. I just was really, really deeply moved by that. And Michael Mayer's direction and vision for the show just touched my heart and moved my soul. And I really liked Christine Ebersole's performance in Grey Gardens.
Yeah.
I thought that was really terrific. And God, I've got so many friends who've been nominated for Tonys this year. It's very exciting. The competition is huge. I'm really curious to see who's going to win all these awards. And what else did I see? Oh, I've been listening to Kurt Elling, the jazz singer. He's amazing.
He's a Chicago guy.
God, he's just awesome.
I've actually sat in a friend's bungalow house, and he played in the living room. It was about 25 of us.
Wow.
He's definitely a homeboy here in Chicago.
He's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Is there somebody you're dying to work with that if you could say this is a dream person, they could be alive or dead, I don't care. Let's think outside the box.
Yeah, Michael McDonald.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's my favorite male voice in the world, and I just love him. I mean, when he sings, my heart just soars. I think he's got the most soulful, beautiful male voice, you know.
Well, that doesn't seem like that would be hard to hook you two up. Come on.
I've gone backstage and just, you know, like last year on my birthday, my assistant got me front row tickets to a concert that he gave with Steely Dan in at the Nokia Theater between Fort Worth and Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I just burst into tears when he walked on stage.
Oh.
I was like, and Steely Dan, of course, I love them too. Just I'm a huge, huge fan. Anyway, that was like a great night in my life to get to hear that my two favorite artists, you know, Steely Dan and Michael McDonald. But I had also seen Michael in concert at B.B. King's years ago, and I went backstage and met him, and I was just like, I'm your fan. I love you so much. He's just great.
Oh, I hope he was kind. He should have been I would have been.
That guy is just, you know, so humble and so sweet. You can hear that in his voice, too.
Yeah. So late last year, besides going to Steely Dan, you also were at the Kennedy Center to honor Andrew Lloyd Webber when you sang Memory from Cats, which is, of course, the song that, you know, that you, for your lifetime, that song is equated with you and your interpretation and voice with that number. And what has changed for you? You talked about this earlier, like there's songs I have retired, and sometimes audiences won't let you retire a song, but what has changed for you in singing that song over the years?
I'm very fortunate that Memory is my signature song. And
right.
I mean, I'm fortunate to even have a signature song, but that is the song is a remarkable thing. It's a very universal piece of poetry, and it appeals to people at all ages and in all walks of life. It has just an essential message that is also, you know, just about being profoundly and essentially human. And it might get richer in terms of the longer I live with it, the more I see, because the more I've experienced of life. And through the character Grisabella's eyes, you know, I really think of her as one of my great teachers. But so I'm very fortunate that song lives that way in my life and is still so fresh and alive, and its experience to me, or experiencing it, is still a fresh and alive thing. You know, because not all songs have that kind of universal and lengthy resonance.
Right.
They, not all songs apply to every moment in your life, you know. It's like there are songs you feel a certain passion about when you're younger, and then and through your middle years you feel other things, and it's an interesting thing about songs.
Well, it's so dynamic, because to hear you sing it, you know, in 2006 and to hear you sing it 20 years previous. I mean, you're one of those voices that is unchanged or has strengthened. And it's, I only reserve that for Dolly Parton, Cyndi Lauper, and Betty Buckley. That's it. Those are my three.
Thank you so much, Amy. That's so sweet.
Well, it's true, you know, and I've seen all three of you perform. I've never interviewed, who have I not interviewed? I've never interviewed Dolly, but I've interviewed Cyndi, and, you know, and I truly mean that. Like, the voice is just, it's just amazing how it's preserved and grows, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful instrument. I hope that everybody will be a part of the opening gala for Chicago's Gay and Lesbian Center on Halsted Benefit Friday, June 8th. You can get details at centeronhalsted.org. Of course, you're going to get a great event with food and drinks and Betty Buckley headlining. It doesn't get any better than that, and it all goes to a great cause, the culmination of a center for our city that has had the strength and support of everyone in the city of Chicago and in the GLBT community and our straight allies. So come and be a part of that night. Visit centeronhalsted.org. Betty Buckley, thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.